You are now listening to Pete Geek.
We're live. No?
Quick intro. Oh, you meant now.
Literally now. Oh, okay.
Hello, everyone listening, and welcome back to Peak Geek. Now, purely live, purely on demand, and completely unscripted in every name, shape, and form. I'm Jez.
I'm Liam.
I'm Ashley. Alex.
Oh. Fucked it up already.
Yeah, we did. Welcome to live.
We never decide on a running order.
No. Who wants a running order? It's more fun this way.
And now everyone's going to be confused at who's who.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
are they though?
No.
I mean, we're just pictures at the moment, so yeah.
So I'll know who the important people are.
So Ash is the top.
Because me and Ash got ours, right? Yeah.
No, you don't. You have no picture. You and Alex are just Discord faces.
I'm just a voice.
Yeah, you're just a voice and no faces. I'm Cartman and Ash has his own thing. Is that your goblin from a character or something?
Yes, that is one of my D&D characters.
Nice. That makes
he's
sense.
He's a Verdun.
Oh, right, okay.
He's a virgin?
Verdun.
No, virgin.
Oh, right.
We're here now. So this week we were going to discuss who wins between Lord of the Rings and The Witcher if they were to ever have a fight. Let's go with.
I feel like you didn't give that enough.
It's very easy to pick.
Oh, I've already made my thoughts in my own head. Like I was thinking about earlier, realistically, there's only one winner. And I'm curious to see if we have
now,
the same opinion.
Yeah, come on then. Ash and Liam say it at the same time. 3, 2, 1.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, okay, cool. I think we're all on the same page.
There you go. End of the episode. Well done,
right,
boys.
Let's go.
Good work, boys.
One.
The one thing I thought about it last night was the only reason that the heroes in Lord of the Rings were able to fucking win is because they managed to put a ring in Mount Doom. If they didn't do that, they would have lost.
Nah, see, the difference is, right, is when you include all of the Lord of the Rings versus all of The Witcher, there is way more combatants available in Lord of the Rings than The Witcher.
Shall we roll it back slightly? And establish a few ground. I mean, also for context, this is Universe versus Universe, which is a really dogshit title, which is where we just theorize on what would happen if two different media franchises got crossed over in an obscure way. We've done Pokemon versus Star Wars before. That was an odd one.
That went places.
I think the general rules... Yeah, it was a lot of fun, to be fair. And I think a lot of what we described is legally animal abuse. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. We had a great time. And I think rule-wise, we have to say that in terms of numbers, they are sort of evened out. So you can't just be like, oh, well, there's more people in Lord of the Rings, so they win by sheer numbers. We have to kind of, you know, level the playing field there so that we can actually talk about the individual characters. I think that would be fair.
That's a fair rule. To be fair, do we want to set a specific age with Lord of the Rings as well?
Oh, right. I thought you meant, like, 20 year older.
The thing is, do you know any other ages in The Witcher other than the video games?
No, which is why I'm
thinking... just use the movies for Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that's basically what I was going for. We're not doing, like, the first age of the... Because, to be fair, isn't the first age of Lord of the Rings just gods?
Yeah, it's so, literally just gods like fucking around that then make elves, and then elves are like, we don't want to be a part of this place anymore.
Yeah.
And then that's pretty much it.
So, is it the third age where
we
get to the
big
movies?
Elephants. Third age.
Yeah.
Third age is the movies.
Yeah, that's fine. I thought it was. Just
making sure. It's why gods are still kind of there with, like, Gandalf and stuff, being, like, fucking angels and shit.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's fine.
Gandalf was fucking angels? I missed that movie.
No, he is an angel.
Yeah. Oh, right.
He's not actually a human.
That explains his life.
Why
is so powerful and can use magic where other humans can't?
Yeah.
My Lord of the Rings knowledge is movie based.
You don't even know if you're allowed to technically use Gandalf, because like he's only ever allowed to use his powers in specific instances if they're like for the force of good.
I mean, technically,
that is true. Actually,
would this not count as a force of good because there's an invading force from another universe?
He was allowed to step in against the forces of evil getting into this realm, because that's what they always describe it as, is like they're going to invade this realm.
Yeah.
So he was about to step in then. So if the Witcher was attacking into Middle Earth, that's attacking their realm. Therefore, he'd be allowed to use his magic.
Yeah, so we have to presuppose.
Gandalf's magic. We do have to remember though that magic in Lord of the Rings is very fucking shit.
Yeah.
So far, all we've seen, if you go off the movies, he blew some wind at some people, and he lit up a room.
It was really cool, though.
Hogwarts shit.
It was really cool, but he didn't do an awful lot.
So if we go with the premise that the Witcher is invade, like the Witcher's universe is invading Middle Earth, that at least lets us use Gandalf in fighting context. Because
even, they win.
Oh yeah, 100%. They've got.
Does the Witcher invading Middle Earth equate to like the evilness of Sauron? Because like,
I mean, Nilfgaard are pretty fucking mean.
Also, okay. I see there's a couple of factors. For starters, what's that like? Because most of the military might of Middle Earth is on the bad guy side of things rather than the good guys, to be honest. Like,
actually,
if you look at the actual balance there.
So we could take out the Uruk-hai and Sauron completely and just do the heroes versus. Oh, well, I say the heroes. The armies of Middle Earth, barring Sauron shit, and just have, like, Nilfgaard and all of the other ones.
If we're only getting rid of Sauron shit, all the orcs are still there because they're not actually Sauron. Yeah. They just want to fight. So because
they
Sauron
like
wants to make
fight.
A war, they just join the war. It's not like, oh, we're joining because of Sauron.
Yeah.
They're joining because they want to fuck shit up.
I suppose the question is, would Gondor and Rohan be able to kind of put aside their differences and bring the orcs on side? You know, do you think they have that level of like, I see that, you know, we used to fight, but now we kind of.
But, like, if you look at the Witcher's got, like, three different invading forces that are all fighting each other. So if you do universe versus universe and none of them want to be friends with each other.
It's just a big dick-swinging contest.
Yeah,
between, like,
so you kind of have to just... Yeah, you just have to assume that they're friends for this situation of universe versus universe. Otherwise, neither side would win. It would just end up in a bigger war.
Let's just put it
I see what you're saying, yeah.
So if we go for Lord of the Rings, is just after the end of Return of the King. So they're all friends. There's a new king. All that kind of shit. And then The Witcher.
That's a good time for it, actually. The Witcher, I'm not sure, because I don't think there's ever a period where they're like super unified, are they?
No,
so.
The Witcher, everyone wants to kill everyone all the time.
The only thing I'm thinking is, did Nilfgaard just take over everywhere at any point? Just that'll do.
Not in the video games, and because we don't know much about the lore.
Not in
the
video games.
We can't really...
To be fair, most of the video games are you just going around shagging people at this point. So.
I mean, there is
how do we rate shagging power in terms of like combat efficiency?
Let's be honest.
I think it helps.
Aragorn is fuckable as hell, but he doesn't exude a lot of sexual energy the same way that you get in The Witcher. Like, it's not Lord of the Rings is not as horny.
Yeah, but every
sexual proficiency.
Mm. No,
at some point in this war,
Geralt's fucked. He's always been stabbed.
Oh yeah,
like he got stabbed in the back by a farmer because he was having sex. So just he was just in their field.
Oh,
him and Yennefer. I believe it was Yennefer.
Yeah, I think it was Yennefer.
It might have been someone else. He fucks a lot of people.
The man is impeccable.
Before we go any further with the Witcher stuff, I've not watched season 3 yet, so can we...
Oh, I don't care about the season. That's why I'm going off the games. So in The Witcher 1, I believe it's either in The Witcher 1 or it's set in between Witcher 1 and 2. They're fucking in a farmer's field, and a farmer just walks up on them and just stabs him in the back with a pitchfork.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
He gets stabbed a lot, even outside
like,
of fucking...
In The Witcher 3, you can see the scars on his chest and his stomach where the pitchfork went straight through him.
Oh, yeah.
What a champion.
There's two pierce holes, one in his chest and one in his stomach, and that's from the pitchfork that went through him.
So
because he was too busy having sex.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can speak to the military might of both these forces as well as I could, but I guarantee you by the end of this fight, Geralt will have slept with a hobbit at some point. Just 100%. Yeah. I say that with more confidence than anything I've ever said in my life.
I like to think the war's going on and he's just wandering around like he normally does, killing random shit. And he's not involved in any fighting. He's just rock something Hobbiton for the sake of it.
There's a lot of... If we're talking monster hunting, there's a lot of good shit for Geralt to hunt in the Lord of the Rings world. Like, that would keep him busy for a while.
Yes, it would. Oh.
But like the main reason that I pick Lord of the Rings though, over The Witcher and winning is that, one, the army can't fight for shit in The Witcher.
No, it's very disjointed.
Geralt, yeah, Geralt walks in, does like fucking pirouettes and stuff like that instead of actually fighting with his sword normally, and still manages to cut them all down very easily. Like, he's just dancing around the battlefield and not actually
fighting. It's rule of cool, my friend.
Yeah.
Rule of cool. Literally, like, Geralt enters, goes, rule of cool's better than actually fighting. Where, in Lord of the Rings, a dwarf's just going to fucking hit him with an axe.
Yeah.
they're not going to stand around and be like, ooh, that's a cool, like, pirouette you did. They're going to go, you're a poncy elf, I'm going to kill you.
I think the only way that... The Witcher's universe has a chance if they manage to kind of tame some of the beasts around them.
If we set it in a time before the video games, in like I think it's like book two of The Witcher's, then yeah, the Witcher would probably win because at that era, every single school of The Witchers is still active, still alive, and is still in full might.
That would make a very
However,
big difference.
In the video games, there is only the school of the wolf left alive, with like a handful of one other school that's very never even mentioned.
Just Kaer Morhen, and that's about it.
Kaer Morhen is the school of the wolf.
Yeah.
And then it's mentioned that there is other witches on another continent, but not really mentioned how big they are, just they're in small numbers.
They also say another continent, we only really see the one. Yeah. Which is why on the episode title I've put the continent, because it's just specified as that. There's no name for their planet either.
Yeah.
I think we do have to take into consideration, in The Witcher, there is a very large population of magic users, whereas in Lord of the Rings, there appears to just be six dudes that can do magic, and most of them don't get involved.
I was going
to
say, Yen fucking wipes out a shit ton.
I was just going to say, just surely numbers. It's like, there's loads of wizards in Witcher, like, just people rocking about doing magic. And then there's just Gandalf, pretty much. And then, obviously, like, the blue wizards and the brown Radagast. He's not brown, is he? He's green.
As Alex said, though, it's like...
They wouldn't join the fight.
Yeah, they either wouldn't join, or they'd join, and they'd blow air at someone or light up a room. Like, we haven't seen anything massively impressive in the movies.
Like, that's going to make a real difference.
I was going to say...
Doesn't he shoot fire at one point in The Hobbit?
They can only use their magic, like, to the scale of the enemy, and it's the scale of how evil the enemy is, too. So if just, like a general human army was attacking them, they wouldn't be able to use their, like, really, like, godly shit. They'd just be able to, like...
Which does mean technically, if the wizards from
The Witcher could come in, they
could then judge that based on the scale of their power, and because they're invading their land, that is very evil.
Yeah,
so they would be able to use a bunch of their god powers.
If it's humans attacking humans, like, I don't think they'd be able to, like, step in if, like, Rohan attacks, like, Gondor.
Yeah.
Like, it's like...
That's not their
They're able to step in if, like, the forces of evil from Sauron start attacking the world of men. But if it's just another world of men attacking a world of men, I don't know if they'll be allowed.
I think also the concept of what is evil in Lord of the Rings is, like, so different. In The Witcher, evil is like, you're a bad dude who maybe, like, you know, murders and maybe rapes people. In Lord of the Rings, if you're evil, that means you, like, want to bring pestilence to the whole of the universe and kind of, like, end society, and, you know, like, it's a different scale, comparatively speaking.
I was gonna say, like, The Witcher is just basically the Nazis of that universe at this point.
The Witcher is just, like, petty human bullshit, whereas in Lord of the Rings, it's, like, high concepts, you know, like, fantasy stuff. So you have this sort of situation where if the Witcher, like, break in and are, like, going, and they're like, how evil are they? Well, compared to, like, Sauron, they're not.
Yeah.
They're just annoying humans the vibe.
For example, Yennefer rocked up, does she just quantify as just a human at that point? Can they join in?
I don't think Gandalf's allowed to get involved.
Because technically, isn't human.
No, yeah, he's...
He's not, like, a force of evil, though.
No, he's not.
I mean, again, But he is... The witches are seen as evil in the Witcher universe, though.
Yeah, but that's just
don't think that
if you get the bard, you'll be enough fine.
To quantify it as like, you know, like an evil threat that Gandalf would have to get involved with. It's... like they're seen as bad dudes, but Gandalf can't like arrest local rapists.
However,
you know what I mean? Like, that's not a level he gets involved.
However, we are forgetting one big rule with Gandalf and the one in the forest, whatever he's called, the weird one.
Radagast.
Yeah, him. We're forgetting one big, like, vital issue with those two.
That's my one Lord of the Rings pull.
They literally don't give a fuck about the rules.
I was going to say.
They're just limited. Like, Gandalf, again, against random fucking enemies, he still uses his magic to save the hobbits, even though he shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But I think the difference is that, I mean, and we see it, is that when he uses his magic to save hobbits and stuff, like, low...
Gandalf is just a selfish, what? Selfish XP hog. Don't at me.
Motherfucker.
I agree.
Yeah, but no, yeah, when he fights the, oh, fucking what's it called? You know, the big fire
Balrog.
Thing.
Yeah, Balrog,
there we go. When he fights the Balrog, he's on like another level of power compared to when he's saving the hobbits, because the Balrog is like an ancient and deep evil from beyond time. And
well,
I just don't think...
isn't technically evil, though, that's the thing.
It was crazy.
It's just a creature.
It was crazy. The Balrog was created by Sauron, wasn't it? So it's created by the force of evil. Like, but but there's also, like, the philosophy of Lord of the Rings is very much, like, tied to, like, Christianity. So it's very much tied to, like, the idea of free will. So, like, what's, like, human free will is incredibly important in Lord of the Rings. So that's, like, Gandalf can't overstep into, like, too much to help the world of
mortal affairs kind of thing,
because like that affects their free will. Like, he's allowed to help as like a godly entity, like to give them hope, but he's not allowed to step in.
Are we saying
he's not allowed to like
this world?
Kind of, yeah, to
basically
be fair, I think is the vibe. But I think what Alex is saying is that like Gandalf can't be the driving force for a change in the way history turns out. Like, Gandalf can't be the central point of, you know, you can't be like, the world was saved because of Gandalf. It has to be like, the world was saved because of Frodo and Gandalf helped kind of thing. Like, that's how
Gandalf
it has to be because of his...
Yeah, it's like, oh, the world was saved by you know, this hobbit. However, Gandalf did go there, give him the ring, and be like, you should take this and go here, and then save him at every single point that he needed to be saved.
But... I mean, there is an argument to say yeah, like carrying the ring in of itself was the driving, like that is what needed to be done.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, all that needed to be done was carry this ring. Gandalf did most of the heavy lifting.
All right. Sorry.
No. Come on.
You're talking about carrying the one ring, all right? That's a pretty significant. It's not just, oh, just carry this ring. It's the fucking one ring.
Like, I still love the Lord of the Rings, by the way. It's called Frodo's... the One Ring, even though there's like six powers of ring.
It's the best ring. It's the top tier.
Yeah, like, this one's
ring,
the one.
Like, Frodo's
great, like, great job was to carry the like the One Ring, which slowly, like, I'm saying this wrong, like slowly
poisoned
his soul or something. Like,
wasn't the
you
whole
know,
point
like
in
it slowly corrupted him.
Yeah.
So like his the very point of like his duty is to carry the ring that corrupts him. Like, he needs to finish his quest before
he's fully corrupted. I saw quite an interesting little piece that sort of quantified this. So I don't know if you know this, but in DC Comics at some point Superman has held up, you know, the sky. You know, like how the Greek mythology about the guy who has to hold the sky. I can't remember his fucking name for life of me. And in DC Comics, Superman has also done that. And they talk about how heavy the sky is. And it's exactly as heavy as the most heavy thing you can lift, no matter who you are. So it's always the absolute heaviest, hardest thing that you can physically do without being too much for you, like that level. And so obviously it's the deciding force between your own willpower and you know, like the tiredness you feel. Because theoretically, you can always lift the sky. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to. It's exactly as heavy as you can lift. But it's about the toll it takes on you. And I think the same thing is true of the One Ring, in that it's always the most painful experience possible without it being too much, and it's about having the force of will to carry on.
Yeah.
So wasn't the whole point with Frodo carrying it as well, he was more pure of heart than the rest, something? So if anyone else tried to carry it, it'd corrupt them a lot quicker. So he was
the only
person who could take it and wasn't... I got from the movies, and I've read the books... The whole point in Gandalf giving it to him was if Gandalf took it, I mean, he's firstly getting involved in affairs, but I think could he, well, in the world's affairs, not and it could corrupt him.
I think
him.
With Gandalf, and Alex is definitely the Lord of the Rings guy, so he'll probably correct me on this, but I think with Gandalf, the idea was that, one, the more power you possess, the more easy it is for the ring to corrupt you, because you have much more grandiose good intentions. So you see the ring and you're like, I could do so much with this. The other is that because Frodo is so simple, like not simple, but you know, he's a down to earth being.
He's a farmer.
His dreams. Yeah, his dreams are like a cozy cottage and, you know, like a nice cup of tea. And that is harder for the ring to corrupt than Gandalf, who dreams of like world peace and protecting the universe, because there's less avenue for the ring's corruption to get in, yeah, because the ring can't offer him a really banging cup of tea. That's not how the ring works. So that's the kind of situation he's in.
I mean, look at Saruman. He got corrupted without it. So
yeah. Well, no, yeah, let me rephrase that, actually. So basically, for Frodo, like I said, because his dreams are a banging cup of tea. Sorry, Genesis realized I'm actually shouting my head off over here. So because Frodo's like dream is a banging cup of tea, when the ring offers him, you know, control of the world, he's not interested, because that's not what he wants.
Yeah, but like with the whole they can't get involved with like mortal affairs, you'd think that the stuff with Sauron wouldn't count as mortal affairs, because Sauron isn't a mortal.
No, he's, yeah.
He is also an angel.
That's sort of why Gandalf can't get involved.
That's the point.
I was going like, to say,
No, but I'm saying, like, with the Ring of Power, technically Gandalf could have just grabbed that and took it away.
Yeah.
Because if you're going off the whole, no, Frodo doesn't want to rule the world, and that's why it doesn't affect him, neither does Gandalf.
Wasn't the whole thing of him doing
Gandalf wants to be stoned with a bunch of hobbits.
Fight off the armies though.
Gandalf's actual intentions are like a peaceful world, and because those intentions are so grandiose, like that's how the ring has the potential to corrupt it, because like he has such a grand idea of like how he could help the world, that like once the ring had like its grip on him, it tries to help it helps the world through him, and therefore it has access to all those like powers which like he's not allowed to use, but like
for
powers
the
of
more
evil
powerful
like,
you are, the
those.
Greater the temptation the ring holds, because of what you could do with the ring's power. Because for Frodo, the ring can only make him kind of invisible and a little bit, you know, like freaky. Gandalf could use it to reshape the entire universe, but he knows intellectually that if he tries, the ring will twist that to his own ends, and so he'll be caught in his own trap, kind of thing. Which
it'll
is why
basically,
he
he'll start with good intentions and he'll end up being a dictator, basically.
The path to hell is paved with good intentions, that's what will happen.
So what I was going to say is, so essentially with the whole Gandalf getting involved, it has to be almost like a world-ending event for men.
I don't think that is what will happen with The Witcher. I don't think it will be world ending at all.
If we decide that they like orcs can be used, but like which parts can be used? Because like The Witcher, they can use all their wizards because they're still working on human morality.
Yeah, so the wizards in The Witcher are partially, aren't they descended from elves or something? Which is where they get their powers from.
Right. So, I mean, like elves can still fight. Like it's still like they're still like in the.
So yeah, this is what I mean. Like they'd still be able to get involved. Like we can't just discount the witches, wizards. Because...
So like it's like basically in the Lord of the Rings, if like Gandalf can't really intervene, and like the top wizards can't or won't intervene, like either because you know they're gallivanting around with like. In the forest, like looking at animals and stuff.
Or whatever, yeah.
So basically, we've got like normal human armies, like very good human armies. We've got elves, and we've got maybe orcs, but like I don't rate
orcs
at all because
I think we could bring in orcs.
Like, because like hobbits have been shown to like trick orcs and overpower orcs in instances. So like I don't really rate the strength of orcs. There's a lot of them, but like.
They're stupid.
Yeah.
No.
So like,
then again,
it's like
so is Nilfgaard,
basically, but basically, like human armies of Witcher versus human armies of like Lord of the Rings. Plus, like the Witcher has all the wizards and witches.
I think it makes it more of a fair fight,
but I think Lord of the Rings still win.
I think there's a few factors. So I think if we're pinning all of the Witcher's armies together as like a coalition of, you know, whatever dudes and ladies, obviously. And kind of saying that they would be one unified front. I think there's a good chance then that there would be at least one or two dragons on the Lord of the Rings side in terms of like, we're just, if we're uniting intelligent beings that could be reasoned with and who could reasonably be convinced you need to join up to fight this threat.
Which we all know from
dragons are intelligent.
Yeah, dragons are not only very fucking intelligent, they can be reasoned with.
Yeah.
Mm. So I think we would see at least one or two dragons.
That would probably also lead into where
Geralt dragon, like,
if we're going off betrayal, though, every single motherfucker in The Witcher is capable of betraying every motherfucker in The Witcher.
Yeah.
So we kind of have to disregard betrayal because The Witcher loses instantly.
Yeah, I was going to say as soon as they step on Middle Earth, another army, they turn around and stab him.
Yeah, as soon as they get on Middle Earth, all of the armies would look at each other and go, "We want this land," and just start attacking each other.
Yeah, it's literally, you kind of have to disregard the whole relationship between each faction and just say,
but then,
they're all one combined force for this fight.
Does that tie into the whole, like, because, like, that's not Witcher all betraying each other is kind of like human morality, but like dragons are like an ancient, I don't know, like it's like a dragon always betrays, like if a dragon like is like offered like gold,
I was gonna say dragons don't always betray, they kind of just they work to their own means, so if they see something beneficial to them at the end, they'll continue to fight. So,
I mean, caveat, I feel like maybe the dragons would help, and then after the war is over, there would be like a switch, and then it probably might be Kingdom of the Dragons for a bit while they absolutely wreck our shit.
Essentially, but
that's not our problem. We don't need to concern ourselves with that.
To be fair, though, if we're going with dragons from Lord of the Rings, I feel like there'd be some beasts in The Witcher that would be used. I don't know which ones. But
the dragons in The Lord of the Rings are like the size of mountains. I think Smaug's like the second smallest out of all of them. So, yeah, so they would fuck shit up.
Yeah, I mean, that's
they're
the
like
only time
world
where...
endings,
okay, so if the world... I was going to say, if the world ended, did Gandalf and that get involved again? But on the other side...
When it comes to Kingdom of the Dragons afterwards, yeah.
So, technically, yeah, if the dragons did get involved, that would technically mean that all of the angels would be allowed to get involved. Because the dragons aren't just a lizard that evolved.
No, they are.
They were actually made by... the first Dark Lord.
Were they?
Yes.
I didn't even know that. Wow.
Yeah, Morgoth, the first Dark Lord, created.
But then they're fighting on the Lord of the Rings side. Oh, I don't know.
This is the thing. So,
it's one of those of like, yeah, they'd fight, but then after the war, if they tried to betray, all of the angels would just be like, oh, you're all of the dragons are trying to attack, are they? Well, then we'll all just come down and smite the fuckers.
I was going to say, this is the point where...
This is
where
a very sad story for Gandalf here. Like, he's just watched, like, two worlds of men just, like, destroy each other while he can't intervene. And then now he's just got to protect the world from, like, dragons.
So, there's one
left.
Scenario here I'm thinking. If the dragons
all he wants
involved,
to do is smoke weed, man. Leave him alone.
There's one scenario here where if the dragons get involved... Do the angels on the Lord of the Rings side fight for the witches side because they want to stop the dragons? Like,
that's a dangerous scenario.
Yeah,
by themselves,
dragons might not allow
probably,
to be involved.
So the dragons getting involved wouldn't really mean that the angels have to protect the people from the other realm. Because again, they only protect this realm. The angels protect this specific realm. If any threat,
it's a dragon,
this realm,
it's still
going to attack.
It's still going to cause damage
again,
on that realm.
But where, like, not really, because Smaug was just sat in a mountain and no angel went and attacked him.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, if they are causing havoc, they're going to cause...
Gandalf didn't attack Smaug when he started fucking people up in The Hobbit.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, he doesn't get involved over little things like that.
I think, yeah, we've
but
got
to
once again reiterate,
might
petty
all
bullshit.
Of the dragons turned on Earth, like on Middle Earth, yeah, then they would probably would be like, right, let's go fuck this shit up.
Alright, yeah, fair play.
But if it's one dragon, they're like, yeah, that doesn't really matter. So if they're just melting the enemies of this realm, they'd be like,
they're not people
from this realm, so we shouldn't get involved, because they're not evil, but they're also not our people.
No, man, the get involved rules for the angels are so confusing. Yeah. I'd smoke a lot of weed too if I had to deal with this shit.
Yeah, you can see why Gandalf's always stunned.
Like, it's so much, man.
So it's just like, how many rules do I have to follow? Give me the joint.
like,
get this shit out of here.
I broached it as a daft one earlier before we started. I said, why don't we involve Dragon Age just for the bit of fun? Now I don't want to because there's too much fucking admin as
convoluted.
It is.
It would get convoluted.
But like with Dragon Age, there's the Blight, and then they've got dragons, and it's just Christ!
Can anyone control the Blight though?
No, but that's the point. They just keep coming. Actually, wasn't there someone who controlled it in the first game?
He attempted to, I think, but he couldn't fully. He didn't fully control it. He kind of directed it.
Yeah, it's.
It wasn't like I control this. It was a case of I found something that doesn't get corrupted quite as quick as it, so I put that in its path to slowly direct it this way instead.
Yeah, so like for me, just going back onto the fight between the Witcher.
But we did Lord of the Rings versus those robots from Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh Jesus Christ!
I mean, considering one woman in Horizon Zero Dawn fucked up the entire fucking universe when she stepped in, I believe the Lord of the Rings would end up winning.
No, because I mean, canonically, they had already stopped being a danger by that point and were just like chill. Yeah, so I'm talking about like.
But that's the thing though, if we're going up, we have to go off the like the eras in the worlds that we know.
Yeah, the ones that
if we go off the era of when they were in their peak performance, then the gods are on the world from Lord of the Rings, and they would just fuck shit up because it's
no, wait. Like let me just come in here. Like thinking about it, like I don't know anything about Horizon, but like
okay. Great start.
Like we've said that like the wizards in Lord of the Rings can't like they can't come into this unless like it's a true force of evil. Can a robot commit evil?
Yes, they can. Horizon Zero Dawn. Yes.
No,
they're sentient.
No, I'm going to say no.
They are sentient.
Like, they're not a force of evil. They're just a bunch of code.
No, you do find out when in Horizon Zero Dawn when you go into the fucking mothership thing of it, and it's like, oh no, they are actually sentient.
Yeah.
It's the AI thing again of like they're sentient, but they're just trying to do what they were programmed to do. They just don't. Well, they understand, you know, like the commands, but they've done them wrong. You know what I mean?
Say,
like,
they've broken their programming, and it's
Well, they haven't broken the programming. It's like iRobot. They're still following it. They've just reinterpreted the programming in a very dangerous way, and that's
sentient, but not sentient.
Like
I mean, we're literally
like
getting
like
into like.
Yeah, but again, though, if we're going off
malevolent.
Yeah, but if we're going off their in like one universe in its peak performance, then we have to go off the other one in its peak performance.
Universe has had lots of rules.
No, but the gods themselves. No, the gods themselves don't have those rules. The angels do. Gandalf does. He's not a god. He's one of the angels. The gods that created Gandalf and all the rest, they don't have those rules of not getting involved. They just don't want to get involved. That's the difference, is they just don't care. They made the angels for this, and they went, instead of us getting involved and reshaping the world every 5 seconds because someone did something we don't agree with, well, then we'll just set this
free will, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll give them free will. We'll make these angels that if one of them turns evil, then one of them can get involved. They will do that instead. So they set up these ground rules so they're not reshaping the universe every 5 seconds because they got bored and tired of it.
So, new question.
I want to go back to whether or not a robot can commit evil. I want to have this debate.
Yeah. But, like, robots invading the universe and wiping out all of their creations.
But it's
I feel like
evil.
The gods would get involved. No, again,
but
the gods don't care about evil or good.
Mm.
The gods only cared about evil or good when they gave the humans free will.
But I don't know if the gods would ever intervene. I feel like they did, like the true gods of Lord of the Rings and the big gods, like they just set up like a dice roll and just let it go. Like I don't. They might just
get but then someone else
a bunch of random robots just come attack their world. Like,
well, that's not their dice. That's the thing.
Yeah, I think. I mean, this leads us to question how the universe versus universe has happened. Is there some kind of other god getting involved that's merged these two places? Like. It's gotten very
I like
existential
to think that the Witcher didn't have a clue, or like the Witcher universe lived on the one continent, didn't realize the one to the left was Middle Earth.
Just sailed to the Middle Earth.
Yeah.
Oh shit! This was here the whole time.
Just
these
to make
fuckers have got dragons.
Make sense. And then actually, that negates the whole Gandalf thing because technically, it's still part of their world, and they don't want to get involved. Because then it's just quarrels of man and elf and shit like that. So. One thing I was going to say...
Quarrels of Man is my new prog rock band.
One thing I was going to say is, I think we've established that Lord of the Rings just win this hands, like hands down. There's nothing.
I mean, I don't know.
Although,
The Witcher doesn't have. Very
I think
good
dragons.
Combatants. That's the thing.
I think dragons. I think just for sheer power,
like when you fight the humans in The Witcher, they very much are very slow and groggy, and just like they do wide swings with their attacks, every single one of them. To
whereas...
the point where Geralt can literally put his sword in the air, do a quick spin and a flip, and then still hit them.
Yeah.
Before he gets hit.
And if you look at like how the, I mean, the first at the beginning of Return of the King, Fellowship of the Ring, you see how the elves fight, and they're a massive unit, and it's like, it's the same kind of thing. They fight in coordination with each other, and it's a coordinated army is going to beat an absolute mess in one go. The only way that I could see the Witcher getting any sort of win is if their wizards just do the shit that they do best, really. Like, have you all watched the TV show?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think it's the end of the first season, Yen just goes absolutely ballistic. The whole point in the first series is her being told not to use her chaos, which is her magic, obviously, and then just unleashes the lot on Nilfgaard at the end of it and kills an entire army.
That's basically what happens in The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
That's why she leaves in The Witcher 3. She's like, I can't use my magic. Well, fuck you all then, I'll just leave.
So,
she's in Kaer Morhen, where only the witches are allowed to use their magic in Kaer Morhen.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm one of the most powerful entities in this realm, and you're limiting me.
Yeah, so that's basically what happened, is she used it, got told to use it, and just then fucking fled because of it. And she wiped out hundreds, if not thousands, at one go. So
Also, if we're doing like the whole, all of, like, if we say orcs and everything are on the same team as the rest of the humans in Lord of the Rings... We have to assume that all of the mythical creatures in The Witcher are on the same team. However, the way we've already said it is intelligent creatures that can be reasoned with.
And there is some in The Witcher, like...
Even the dragons are not considered intelligent enough to be reasoned with.
Yeah.
In The Witcher.
No, exactly.
So they don't have dragons versus dragons.
I mean,
Griffins
are
out of The Witcher because they can't be reasoned with. None of the spirits are to be reasoned with.
Yeah.
To be fair, the dragons in Lord of the Rings, I think, basically just win the war anyway because
not quite strong against magic? Am I misremembering that? The dragons in Lord of the Rings, they're quite strong against magic.
Absorb magic or something. They have like a magic absorbing effect, I believe, but they don't nullify
it. Isn't that why they have to shoot the big crossbow in The Hobbit? I'll be honest, I didn't watch The Hobbit with super intense concentration because it's dog shit. But...
I mean, The Hobbit skips most of the fucking stuff in the books anyway.
It was something about a big crossbow.
They shoot giant.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Arrow,
so, true dragons in The Witcher are considered very intelligent beings. We could include them.
How big are they?
Fucking massive.
That's not helpful.
I don't know. They don't give a scale.
They are set to represent.
Oh, they're not even like
chaos,
as big as houses.
They absorb
magic.
True dragons are considered mythical but nearly extinct.
I also think. Do we see them in the games at all? Like, I can't think of a single instance of a dragon
in The Witcher 2.
Yeah, you fight one of them. Don't you fight a dragon at the beginning of The Witcher 3, or is that a griffin?
Is it a true dragon though? Okay. Also, yeah, this other one in which is that a true dragon? I don't think
no, the one in The Witcher 2 is just a draconid. But it's very much a dragon, but it's not counted as a dragon. It's just a draconid.
Yeah, I think in terms of intelligent dragons, that they might not. I think they're pretty much extinct. I don't think they count.
Yeah, like even in Geralt's Witcher Code, it's said to not kill a dragon because they are so rare and sentient.
Yeah, so I mean,
so in The Witcher Code, they're not even allowed to kill them if it's a true dragon.
How many dragons do we know of in the Lord of the Rings that would be alive during the Third Age?
Let me go quickly to Lord
I've
of the
got
Rings Wikipedia.
Eight from The Witcher as true dragons, so there's eight that they could fight.
But they're not in the games, so they're not said to be alive during the games. So no, you cannot use them. That's the issue, is if we're using them on the games, then you can't use them.
Ah, yeah. Bastard. I was going to say, if we use the TV show, that I know there's at least one.
We don't know the books.
What was it, sorry?
What about the books?
I mean, if we use the books, then we can use the Lord of the Rings books as well, but as long as we don't go for like the Silmarillion and the Hobbit and stuff, so.
I mean, yeah, but like the Silmarillion wouldn't make a difference because it's not the right age, right?
No, like, that's in, what I mean. Like, we'd only be able to use, the Hobbit through to the Return of the King.
I think what we can use potentially is
if we're going by just movies, do we ever see dragons in the Lord of the Rings movies?
No, but
what I was saying is that if they exist, if canonically they exist in the Third Age,
So Scartha is mentioned, So Scartha in Lord of the Rings is mentioned in the movies, and he made his lair in the southern slopes of the Grey Mountains. He is one of the biggest dragons that we've heard of. And Smaug was giant, so you can only imagine how big he is.
Right, I'm on the one wiki to rule them all. Gonna learn some stuff about dragons.
Okay, Thronebreaker's got a dragon dragon in, which is one of the Witcher games, so we can use that, and she's also fucking massive. Like, probably on Smaug sizes.
They're not that big in comparison.
Compare to the rest, no.
Most of the other dragons.
Is my point. But what I'm saying is we could probably involve some, so it might not be as one-sided as we thought. They'd probably still fucking die, but by the looks of it, the Witcher dragons are very similar in size and to the ones from the Lord of the Rings, just... there's not as many of them. So...
Okay. You know what? Genuinely, this may actually change the game in regards to dragons. I'm misremembering slightly. It is presumed that after the death of Smaug in the Third Age, the great dragons became extinct. So actually, there aren't any dragons after the Third Age. During the War of the Ring, there are no dragons. There are some fire drakes, which are like smaller ones. But yeah, in terms of like... the big bastards, they're all gone by that point. So, you know what? Maybe it goes back to the Witcher now.
We might now have an actual fight on our hands instead of just, a dragon rocked up and smoked the lot.
I think we do need to establish, and it's come back to this again, how much Gandalf gets involved. And I don't think we've had a satisfying response to that yet.
I don't think he does, because it's the fight of man.
Yeah.
My question is, right, so Gandalf gets involved when Saruman gets involved. I think we can agree on that, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, with Saruman, is there a possibility, because the only real distinguishing feature about Saruman and Gandalf is that they can use magic, is there a possibility that he mistakes the witch's wizards for some similar being to himself, and that makes him get involved?
Don't think so, because it'd be a different type of magic, so he'd be able to kind of...
Different type of magic. Because if Yennefer got involved, Saruman that is entirely chaos and evil. Like, her magic is outright defined as evil.
So yeah, Gandalf even in
the world of The Witcher, where like stabbing someone in a street is considered being evil, her magic is seen as the evil.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Fair.
Like, even to the point where the Wild Hunt, one of the most evil entities in the universe for The Witcher, where if you see them in a dream, everyone you know and love is going to be slaughtered by them.
Yeah, alright, yeah, fair.
Like, that's pretty fucked up.
Even they consider her magic evil.
You also gotta take into account Ciri as well, because she's some weird fucking descendant as well. So actually, yeah, I think Gandalf could get involved.
Maybe... Yeah, like Ciri also. Yeah, Ciri is a witcher, the first born witcher, because normally they mutate in time. She's the first born witcher from someone who, by the way, can't have children. Witches cannot have children, but somehow he does. Because Yennefer is called fucking cuckolding. Evil. Well, it's just the fact that Yennefer's magic tastes really cool online.
Yeah, so what we can probably establish from this is I think we could say Gandalf can get involved. Saruman probably wouldn't.
Which means
give a
we
fuck.
Need to go. No, Saruman's actually, dead at this point.
Saruman would probably be more likely to get involved than Gandalf.
Although, to be fair, we've just made a very valid point. Rules, yeah. He's dead because we said we'd do it at the end of the war.
It's post War of the Ring, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
Saruman's dead as shit.
So it's just Gandalf.
This is where we need to establish every single other angel
that's still alive that's not mentioned. Well,
how many are there? That's the problem.
But they're not mentioned and they're not in the movies, so can we use them?
Well, then we can't use the dragons because they're not mentioned in the trilogy.
I think canonically, but the thing about the angels, I'm not sure. I think they're starting to dwindle by the Third Age. I think that's the whole point. Is that, like,
we can't use any of
the
dragons from the Witcher.
There's not many of them left.
We can't use any dragons from the Witcher. We can't use any from Lord of the Rings anyway. So it's literally just man versus man, and then there's Gandalf and Yen. But
man
we
versus
say...
man, Gandalf versus all the wizards.
Yeah, and didn't we say earlier that Gandalf can only will only kind of scale his power based on what he's fighting? So he'll never
evil,
go OP.
Yeah, but if he's fighting all the wizards, he'll probably scale up to.
Yeah, but he'll scale up to their ability, so it's like...
Which means...
It's a fair fight.
No, but he'll scale up to the evil. He scales up to the force of evil. Like,
yeah, which Yennefer is... Yeah, but Yennefer is counted as true evil, like the most evil anything can ever be.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, that's her magic is seen as...
The witches are pretty evil.
Yeah, like the witches in the witches are literally seen as the most evil that anything can ever be.
Okay,
I think
like
their magic
is pure. Yeah, their magic is pure darkness.
I think
and
as well,
Gandalf's magic is pure light.
Yeah, I think as well, like Gandalf's definition of evil seems to be more like unnatural. You know what I mean? Like away from the natural way of things, which kind of plays into how the witch's magic kind of is perceived.
The
so
witch's
it kind of fits
magic's
there.
A little bit different as well. So like, well, no, I mean Jens is more natural than fucking well, the Geralt, because obviously Geralt has like his
actually Geralt is actually the most natural in that universe because uses nature. Yeah, because he uses nature to do it.
Okay. Other way around then,
His runes are literally like he does a rune and then the powers around him form that magic.
So what do you think? Do we think Geralt's
Yennefer
doing during this?
The magic around it. Geralt's magic shit.
No, I mean, what do you think he's just doing in general during this? Because there's not really other than just walking around Middle Earth, stabbing random shit.
Well, considering if they're invading Middle Earth, all they have to do is give him money, and he fights on their side.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So he would be fighting. He would be fighting for their realm to take over Middle Earth. He wouldn't just be like, "Oh, now I'm in this world. I'm just gonna fuck off and kill this dragon or this Drake or whatever."
I think
like,
cinematically as well, I can very much picture it because with Gandalf, I think that he will still play. That kind of not get involved in. I could see a scene in this fictional movie that will never exist where Aragorn strides out to engage with Geralt and then Gandalf like provides support so that Aragorn and Geralt can just have a straight up sword fight with no magic and then it's just King of Gondor versus the Witcher.
Who wins
sword
that
on
fight?
Sword.
That I would watch.
Aragorn wins that 100%. I will not hear anything Aragorn. On the contrary.
If there's no magic involved, Aragorn would win that.
No magic involved, Aragorn would fuck him up.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I mean, I don't think it counts as magic, but obviously Geralt uses his potions and shit. So
no, I mean, no potions can fuck off. No potions. not on the battlefield.
After the war, there is four of Gandalf's left.
Right, okay, that's not too bad.
Because they're called the Five Wizards, of what we know within the lore of the movies.
So we can say that there's four wizards versus fucking
it's
hundreds.
It's two blue wizards, Ladegast and Gandalf, isn't it? And then Saruman's the fifth. Am I misremembering
Right? Saruman's the fifth, yeah.
So we've got
Saruman's dead, so we've got four left.
And hundreds of wizards from The Witcher.
Yeah, but we've got those four godly beings that scale themselves based on their enemy that also have thousands of years of combat experience also underneath their wing.
My next question is
not only do they cast magic, they also wield a sword and cut people down. They're a Gish character.
See, what I... the problem is, actually, is what I know about that is that the Blue Wizards are, like, on a different continent and don't come back even for the War of the Rings, so I can't see them, like, getting involved.
Okay, so
Radagast, trying to get Radagast to do anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're down to one again.
Yeah,
well, that
went
quickly.
Well, the thing
but
is,
I think
they
Gandalf...
have a meeting like this. Again, this isn't in the movies.
Wizard meeting. I love.
But they do have discussions about the Dark Lord and how they should best do it. And the reason the others don't get involved is because Saruman convinces the others that him and Gandalf have got this. Obviously, because he's evil as fuck and he has been tainted.
Gandalf.
So he knows that if the Blue Wizards get involved. Then Saruman would get discovered really quickly because Radagast does fuck all in a forest. And if the blue wizards come back to fuck shit up,
two blue
they'd
wizards
have found him.
And Gandalf.
Yeah, so it'd be two blue wizards and Gandalf that have thousands of years of combat experience with a sword.
I don't think Radagast has thousands of years of combat experience.
He just doesn't use it. He's just a fucking like a hermit.
He's got thousands of years of growing weed to his experience, basically.
I think we'd. No, but I think we would see a, if once again, to picture it in a sort of cinematic view, is we would see a situation where Gandalf and the three blue wizards would have prepared some kind of spell that allows them to, like, cast a protection across the armies of men and orcs, yeah, and whatever we've brought in with us, to kind of shield them from the witch's magic, you know,
and even
units
and
that they've
got.
And then it would be a ground fight again. It would kind of go down to sword on sword.
Yeah, so
and even if they didn't do that, they'd probably just do it on themselves and just walk into the armies and start slicing them to pieces.
Yeah, I think it would be a sort of Gandalf and the Blue Wizards would count on the mages on the witch's side, and then it would be like, you're still gonna have to fight sword on sword.
Yeah. Also, every single beast that isn't intelligent enough to be reasoned with in Lord of the Rings, Radagast can reason with them. That's his whole deal.
Yeah, but I don't think he can control them to fight for him, because I think it's a case of
controls them to defend the land. That's the thing. And if his land is being invaded, he gets very aggressive.
We're also not considering that there's Ents to get involved as well.
Yeah, giant fucking trees.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really, like, strong in that, but the reason they were so good against Isengard is because they broke a dam and there was loads of water anywhere, so they couldn't just be set on fire. They 100% the Isengard would have destroyed them. They are just walking pieces of dry wood.
Wipe them out.
Yeah, but no, but actually,
I think we might get to see Treebeard get fucking murdered as well.
To be fair, though, the reason that there's not many Ents alive anymore in the Third Era, because there isn't actually that many of them compared to what there was, is because Saruman tricked them to move into a fucking swamp to kill them all.
That's fucking hilarious.
I mean, he's also just been cutting them down while they were asleep. Like,
to get rid of their masses, he made them go to a swamp and die there. Like,
yeah, but still, I just don't actually, like, they're really big and strong, but that's only before they get, like, you know, set on fire.
I think we've gone back.
Yeah, but if they're being protected by the wizards, the only things that can set them on fire is a torch from a human in The Witcher, which means they have to get close to the Ents.
I think Geralt splits Merry or Pippin's throat in their sleep, and then the Ents immediately get involved. And then after that, I could see a scenario where the Ents, like, are effective, but maybe not as big a game changer
It wouldn't be a massive game changer, but they'd probably wipe out an entire army.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
So
I don't think they're
now
kill
an entire
think,
army down.
I think the Ents, if you bring them in as, like, support, or, like, maybe just fling rocks. That
I was
going to
say,
useful,
literally just
fair.
Catapults. That's it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, that's
they're kind of like a heavy artillery kind of thing. And they would be useful, but yeah, I think, I mean, we're already sort of leaning to the side of Lord of the Rings, but I think that adds an extra, like, weapon to their bow, so to speak.
We got to the point where it got to almost a fair fight, then Gandalf got involved because Yen's a fucking monster. So I think we're back to Lord of the Rings wins. Now, I've got a question. What universe, fantasy universe, beats Lord of the Rings in this case, then?
Warhammer.
Oh, yeah.
Probably Warhammer.
I was gonna say, yeah,
not even 40k.
No,
normal
just
Warhammer.
Well, yeah, but it's like, is it maybe the same universe? Who knows? Anyway, yeah, I think Warhammer.
If only you
beats...
guys knew more about Wheel of Time. Like,
shut up. With Stop. Wheel of it's a fake book.
Stop it. Stop bringing
Made
it up.
Made it up.
No, I don't know if they would win. There's like, that'd be a... there's a lot more wizards and witches in, like Wheel of Time, but, like, and they're really quite powerful, but it's like...
Maybe Skyrim could be...
Again, though, we forgot that, like, again, in Lord of the Rings...
There's loads of wizards in Skyrim.
But again, in Lord of the Rings, elves can use magic.
Yeah, so this is the thing, like...
Like, normal elves, like, they can use magic, they just don't want to.
How strong is their magic compared to, like, Gandalf?
We can't fix that.
Well, we do actually see that in the movies where they heal Frodo, I think it is. Their magic not only heals him, their magic also removes the shard of metal from next to his heart without killing him.
So quite strong.
Like, not only is it so, like, but even if it is related to what we see in the movies, which is healing magic, it heals enough that a wound that was very fatal and about to kill him didn't kill him, and he survived, and then went on to drop the ring in the volcano.
So my next question is: does Gandalf need to get involved if the elves are there to fight?
What was that?
Does Gandalf need to get involved if the elves are there to fight?
I think we've established Lord of the Rings.
He'd get involved because evil, like pure just evil, is on the battlefield.
So
it's not a case of, oh, the mortals can handle this, because again, mortals technically can handle putting the ring in the volcano. He just guides them.
You keep saying putting the ring in the volcano like it's not the hardest thing anyone's ever done in the history of that universe.
Yeah. Your point is?
Fine, fuck you too.
it's a mythical land of just fantasy. It's not real. It's still a volcano.
I want to circle back to Skyrim. I'd say Skyrim, the universe as a whole, is stronger than Witcher.
Skyrim would have a very good valid point on being able to beat Lord of the Rings, because there's nothing innately evil apart from the Hell Realms.
I was going to say
But even then, they're not considered actually evil. They're chaotic. There's only two of the Daedra Lords that are instinctively evil. One of them was killed in Oblivion. So he's no longer valid. He's just a spirit that can't manifest anymore. So he's useless in this fight.
So when I completely wrote it off, I forgot that we'd set the caveat that all of the infighting stopped for this war. So I think Skyrim, Tamriel's got a fucking good chance, because I mean, there's every species under the sun at this point can use magic. There's basically a shit ton of Vikings that wouldn't be fighting in between between each other. There's
the orcs have the ability to do 2x damage for no reason when they shout.
Yeah,
2x damage.
The dragons are massively.
They shout and do more damage. The dragons. If we're going off after Skyrim, the dragons wouldn't get involved.
No, they wouldn't get involved. Yeah,
because if we're going off after the series.
Yeah, so
if we're going off canonically speaking.
But then we got the dragonborn.
You kill Parthenax.
Yeah, I was going to say, the dragonborn in that situation is an absolute beast. Like, can you imagine? You said Aragorn. Well, can you imagine Aragorn single handedly slaying a dragon? Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, but the Dragonborn gets killed by a normal bandit.
In
the canon, he doesn't die, does he? Because you can't end of Skyrim. Oh yeah, Dragonborn died.
Technically, yes, actually, because every single emperor of the Imperial Army has been a Dragonborn.
Ah, but I'm talking about the Skyrim
very easily by bandits.
Dragonborn, not any other Dragonborns. The specific main character Dragonborn that you play.
The one with plot armor. Basically,
the one with plot armor.
But if we're giving him his plot armor, then we have to give all the Lord of the Rings characters their plot
armor. Well, Aragorn had his plot armor.
Well, then Frodo wins against the Witcher.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, then Frodo wins.
And it will be awesome to watch, yeah.
I still think Skyrim's got a damn good chance.
Just go plot armor, because the Dragonborn can't deflect arrows.
No.
At all.
No.
And he can't deflect a boulder coming from a tree.
With magic, so.
Yeah, he's a normal guy with magic. Skyrim would still probably win. Skyrim
in the context of that universe. Every time he kills a dragon, he takes their powers or something.
Yeah, in the context of that universe.
You take their souls, which then allows him to learn more of their language. And their in Skyrim, well, in all of Elder Scrolls, the dragon's language is how they fight and how they shoot magic. So they speak fire, and fire comes out of their mouth. They don't just shoot, they don't just breathe fire. They have to say the word fire. And they have to say it with the intent to breathe fire.
Right.
So
but
isn't
surely
there's
Skyrim,
like a deflect like arrows voice like
there is.
Word.
There literally is a deflect arrows spot.
So then,
but no, in Skyrim, the Dragonborn at full level, like when he's leveled up and everything at the end, is able to take like 90 arrows from a bandit and just not even flinch. Is able to hit a guy so hard that he flies like a giant across the chest so hard that they just die instantly. Like that is the level of being that we are bringing in, because it's end of Skyrim, post the game. In that context, that Dragonborn is like a machine, like a Gandalf, not the Gandalf level machine, that might be a bit, but like he's like up there as like a peak dangerous figure that you would have to deal with in that context.
Looking at the canonical thing for the last Dragonborn, is he's affiliated with the College of Winterhold, the Blades, and all this kind of thing. So you got to assume that he's finished all like. Going from the game, finished all those quest lines. So
yeah, so he's a master mage. He's also a master swordsman. Yeah, he's like top draw everything.
Yeah. So then the other thing you have to question then is, does absorbing an evil dragon's soul
make
you
evil
at all?
Because then Gandalf gets involved.
Do we know they're all evil?
The ones he's killing are evil because they are all okay. worshipping.
Then, yeah.
That's why it's morally okay to kill them.
Yeah, they. So the dragons that he kills, apart from Parthenax, because in the canon, he killed Parthenax, who is the only canon dragon.
Parthenax is evil. No,
no, Parthenax is good.
Yeah, he's overcome his evil.
Yeah, Parthenax overcame his evil and became good and fought for the humans to kill Alduin, the bringer of end times, becoming good.
But Parthenax does ask him to kill him, and I think you get a pass for that.
Parthenax doesn't ask you to kill him. Parthenax sits on the top of the mountain and says, I will not fight you unless you fight me. And then the blades tell you to go kill Parthenax because he's the last dragon on the planet, technically, in the canon. So you go to the top of the mountain and he's like, please don't kill me, just tell them you have, and I'm just going to sit on this mountain like I have done.
But you
can
choose to spare his life, can't you?
You can, but in canon, you don't.
I was going to say, the canon version.
Bullshit.
A canon version, you bring the Blades Order back, because the Blades are the protectors of the Emperor.
Nonsense. Yeah, well, I mean, fuck canon then. I'm not having any
So
of that.
If we're going off canon,
that's
you
bullshit.
Go up there, and you just, technically you are evil. You just go up
just
there.
This very intelligent
dragon, the last of its kind. In canon, specifies, do not kill me, I'm just going to sit up here for 10,000 more years or until the end of time. I don't want to get involved with mortals anymore, because y'all are fucked up.
Actually, technically, you don't join the Blades if you don't kill him.
Yeah, and he is an affiliate with the Blades in the canon, so he has to kill them.
Yeah.
So he has to have killed Parthenax.
So technically, you can probably count him as evil, and then Gandalf's involved again.
Which means Gandalf then scales himself to the evil of him.
Especially because that's his choice. If he's got to choose that he kills Parthenax, like the last of his kind, then that's a pretty evil choice.
If we remove, if Gandalf kills the Dragonborn, does Gandalf then leave the fight?
I don't know if he would kill the Dragonborn, though. It's like a top level like Dragonborn with like, you know,
that thing is
Skyrim level like stats and everything. So he's basically like a master thief.
Basically.
Like he can turn invisible. He can like
That's the thing
he
is like
all
Gandalf,
these dragon powers.
And Gandalf doesn't scale to his power, he scales to the power of his evil.
So his evil might not necessarily be that big. It's just that one instance. Yeah. Say that one instance unless you play like me and then you're killing every motherfucker on the planet.
Not one instance, you know.
It depends if the evil dragon souls are corrupting his soul. Like,
and
if the evil dragon souls are corrupting his soul, then technically he is like a giant power of evil. So Gandalf would probably be able to go all out at that point. But if he's just using those souls and like his actual morality is still.
Are you
going to
say the Dark Brotherhood?
Yes.
It doesn't specify, but I imagine he is.
So if it doesn't specify in the canon that he is, we can assume he isn't.
It just says various joinable factions, and by the fact that it says joinable, it's choice.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I'm a bit... Yeah.
It is a bit of a grey area, that one.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that fight.
I think it'd be cool.
But yeah, so if we assume that he's joined all of them and become the master of everything, he is innately evil.
Yeah, because he's joined
The Night Mother is... the primordial god. It's the second. It's one of two primordial gods that are still alive or still known about in the Elder Scrolls lore. And the primordial god that the Night Mother is the god of death and destruction.
So basically,
that would be innately counted as pure evil. So the fact he's joined that and he is not only worshipping this god. He is also the only known listener and speaker of this god. So he's just like the highest order in this faction.
And so it's basically whoever wins between the two. If Gandalf... what I was going to say is, does Gandalf leave the fight if he wins? Because if he doesn't, it's going to be more
probably
interesting.
Probably because he's then deceased all of the evil and they'd be like, I'm out.
So I think Skyrim still wins because if Gandalf still wins that fight, it's all of the armies of Tamriel and all of the species versus... Middle Earth.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a scenario in which Lord of the Rings
wins. It would
win
be a
this.
Hell of a show.
I don't think there's a scenario where Middle Earth wins this because if Gandalf leaves the fight or if he dies, then it's the Dragonborn could fuck up the entire world.
Again, if we're going off factions joining forces to do this fight, Gandalf wouldn't actually leave after he kills the Dragonborn.
Okay, well then it's more interesting.
Because the Vampire Lords would be involved and they are also worshippers of the Night Mother.
and then you've got the Dawnguard fighting on alongside of them, which is hilarious.
Yeah, but the Dawnguard aren't considered evil.
Actually,
where the Vampire Lords outright are evil.
In Dawnguard, with the Dawnguard stuff, I haven't finished it. Do you kill the vampires at the end of it?
Yes.
Okay. So
regardless of which side you pick, the story is exactly the same.
My only understanding of it is that people really want to fuck the vampire.
So they're dead in this now, although there'd be other vampires and stuff. There's also werewolves and that.
That's
as well.
The thing is, you kill one vampire lord.
I was gonna say you kill one vampire sect. So actually, yeah, Gandalf would still get involved to fight them. But then, is it okay? We're going back to the same thing of, is he gonna stay involved after that's finished?
Yeah, and again, would he survive countless vampire lords, as well as the Dragonborn?
I don't think he does.
As well as again. He might count the forces of chaos as evil in that world.
I don't think
we don't know what he counts as evil, because Shir Gorath, for example, the god, the Daedra god of chaos and insanity, he is pure chaos being. He doesn't do evil or good. He just does chaos. He doesn't care about the insanity part of what he's like labeled as, and he creates his own. He creates his own universe. For starters, he just creates his own realm, which all of the Daedra gods created their own realms. That's why they're gods. But he created his own realm that is in a constant cycle of evolution up to being where the actual Tamriel is up to, and then a giant monster he summons wipes out the entire thing and starts from scratch.
So it's playing D&D, basically.
Yeah.
He's doing
Would that be counted as evil?
I don't know if that counts as evil, because he's just being a dick.
Because he creates...
I mean, I'd argue that's evil.
Well, he creates the life, and even in when you go to the Shivering Isles in Oblivion, they made it so that the enemy... Like, not the enemies, the everyone in that world, like the NPCs, everyone, is very much scripted. And, like, even for Oblivion,
so
they're scripted.
Autonomous.
They're not real people.
They're a definition of an NPC with bad dialogue.
Yeah.
Oh dear. We've started defining consciousness. This was always going
to
go.
Like, so back to Horizon Zero Dawn.
That says, like, he doesn't give them their own conscious. He writes the script that they have to say.
Yeah. Okay.
Then, yeah. That
he
was,
is. He is technically everyone in that world.
So it's he's not.
Then,
he's
yeah,
just
that's
playing
not
with
evil.
Himself.
Then.
Yeah. He's basically he's just playing with himself essentially. So it's like it's one of those. It's like, is that count as evil? Because he's creating life and then destroying it, but he's creating life using himself as the life.
He's essentially just splitting his soul and talking to himself.
Yeah,
he's a lonely child.
Is philosophical masturbation evil?
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, if I had my way.
Yeah. So I don't think Gandalf fights that.
To fucking your clone with masturbation.
So Gandalf allows.
We're back to fucking your clone.
I think we can probably say that Skyrim's got the upper hand and is winning this, because there's not... I don't envisage a scenario where they win. Unless
I don't see where Vizelov wins against Tamriel.
Yeah, there's not... There's too much firepower.
It's like,
and...
it's like, because like even Gandalf has limits in that, like, if he's so busy fighting the Dragonborn, like, the rest of Skyrim is still attacking the rest of Middle-earth. The vampire lords murder the shit out of the hobbits. He can only
It gets to the point where...
There's four wizards that we know of that might get involved. One of them probably wouldn't get involved, or would just be like, I'm going to defend this forest to the end of my life.
And he'd die quite quickly by the sounds of it.
Yeah, he'd just have the animals around him defending him, and it's like, you'd probably want to stay in that forest to live the longest.
Yeah.
But other than that, you'd still probably die.
Basically, everything gets destroyed apart from that one bit that Tom Bombadil lives in.
And he just sits there.
He didn't get involved for Sauron. He's not going to get involved for this.
So, next question I've got. This is more for a future kind of thing. I want you guys to think of a universe that can beat Skyrim.
Warhammer.
It's Warhammer. It's Warhammer okay. Regular. Yeah.
Right,
it's
well,
always Warhammer.
I want to come back to this because I don't know anything in terms of Warhammer. I've not looked into it. I want someone to explain this to me on another episode. So in a future episode, I need this.
Liam.
Right,
let me give you the TLDR.
Do we want a guest for the Warhammer episode?
Oh, please, yeah.
Like a Warhammer expert.
Yeah, why not?
Because I know it's not. I don't know how much he knows on Warhammer, but 40k Naz, who was like in chat and like he popped in chat earlier, said hello. knows a fuck ton about Warhammer. There you go, Naz. Yeah,
there he is.
Yeah. Do you want to be on a Warhammer episode where we discuss how Warhammer
can anything
can fuck
beat Warhammer?
Up anything? Yeah, like can Warhammer be beat by any other universe?
I am happy to listen to this shit because I just don't know anything about it.
Nice.
I am
well
for that.
The thing about 40K, which I think translates over to regular Warhammer, is just imagine the most fucked thing imaginable. That's it. That's what Warhammer is. It's like it's always the worst possible thing it can be.
And the worst part is if Gandalf, like if we did it against Lord of the Rings and Gandalf got involved, he'd be dead. Like instantly.
Oh yeah.
Gandalf might be able to stop an arrow. He might be able to do anything. He might scale to the evilness that the person is. He cannot stop a 40mm bolt going through his face.
I'm not even gonna. Just for the...
Gandalf would get fucked. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's literally, without even the full context of it, I could see why, but I still want a full explanation of this shit.
Yeah.
I own it. I have not played Dawn of War, and I own it, and I'm ashamed of that.
You should definitely play Dark Crusade if you've got Dark Crusade. Let's you should have Dark Crusade.
Have you seen that? Have you seen that amazing TikTok from Yogscast where they're talking about like Warhammer and the plot of Warhammer? And he's like, "Now here's the first few books," and it's like a very small image. And he pulls out, and it's like the whole timeline of books. And it's about 79 books wide in all different timelines. Yeah.
So this is why I've not got into it before, because it just hurts my brain. There's
fucking
so much going on.
Man. It is.
Oh yeah, like there's a lot going on. If you ever get into Warhammer, like, there's so much that, and not only just so much going on in that world, there's so much that they're still building into.
Oh god,
it isn't still an ongoing story.
So I own Dawn of War 1 and 2, and also Chaosbane. Apparently,
the thing about Warhammer is that you get started, you just read like a Space Wolf's book for 40k, and you're like, all right, cool. It's like, there's like these hero type characters and they're genetically engineered and there's like all orcs and then like 17 books later you're like, and are the Imperium really the bad guys and who's this and the tower coming and the Necrons, and your just brain is slowly melting into your own fucking skull.
I think we should do it as an episode where we do Warhammer for Dummies and basically just explain it to me.
Warhammer for Dummies. So also, since you mentioned
Space Wolves, I'm one of those dummies.
Since you mentioned Space Wolves, Jez.
Yeah.
I found out an interesting fact about Space Wolves. I'm pretty sure it's Space Wolves. I might have got them mixed up with one of the many other factions. So Naz will correct me, because Naz knows exactly what I'm going to say. According to most people, Space Wolves are the only faction of Space Marines that actually fuck.
Right.
So it's canon that Space Marines don't have sex. They just don't.
Except for the Space Wolves of Warhammer 40k.
They do fuck.
Oh, Total War Warhammer 3 is on sale. Interesting.
So Liam, you can't learn this lore from a Total War game. You're not going to get any of the context.
Yeah, supposedly they fuck. Yeah. We don't know if they do outright, but they're the only faction that is a supposedly they have sex. Every other faction is no, they don't.
Alright, I think next time
we
do it.
What was the final, like, decision on who wins who? Like Lord of the Rings versus
Lord of the Rings beats
Lord of the
Witcher,
Rings beats
and
Witcher,
then we brought in Skyrim and just Lord of the Rings. That kicks ass.
Yeah.
And then Warhammer beats everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can never find anything that can beat Warhammer. At least definitely 40k. Like Warhammer maybe.
I was
maybe.
Gonna say, like,
some
like,
ideas.
As soon as you bring
Warhammer
40k, like
Tyranids will kill everything.
Yeah. I don't know about that to say that they're fucking winning, but like, you can't even bring any sci-fi thing in to say that's gonna cause any like damage.
I think
Alex, what do you think? Maybe.
I reckon Bugs Bunny can take them all.
Rule of funny. Rule of funny. That's Bugs Bunny. I was actually gonna say. Remember, I mentioned the last podcast, Night Run, the sci-fi like manhwa series I read. I reckon with the frozen champions from 100 Years' War or whatever, I reckon that would be a fucking good fight against the 40k universe. I'd be very excited to see that because it's similar kind of concepts. But I think you have to have a universe with that same concept of like the universe is just the most fucked it could possibly be.
Because like if you go off like the power of something. Even One Punch Man being like counted as the most powerful being ever isn't. in the first season of One Punch Man, he does start struggling against the final enemy in that.
No, he doesn't, though. He's holding
he
back.
He does, because he holds back, and then he realizes he can't hold back because the enemy was going to kill him. So he then puts all of his power into his last punch.
That's
and he has to use.
It's not,
series,
it's not his last punch, though. It was like his. It was like a move. It was still just a move. I can't remember what he calls it, but it's still just a move.
Is it just a serious line of attacks? And he's
serious punch.
Because the whole point of what One Punch Man is meant to be is that bad guy he fights in the first season in the anime killed the writer's last superhero because he made that guy too powerful. So he made a guy that can barely beat that guy because he didn't want to have that power creep. Yeah, it was also the first time he was ever hit.
My brain's gone.
Like, that enemy that enemy actually hit him.
I think it's time to check out. My brain's going.
So it's like, even, like, One Punch Man is made by the writer to be as powerful as he needs him to be.
I mean,
well, yeah, that's okay.
which is what most
heroes.
No, but like that's what every single faction in Warhammer universe is made to be.
Yeah, like they're all the idea of One Punch Man is that One Punch Man is always the strongest no matter what, and the idea of Warhammer is that everyone's always the strongest no matter what.
Like all of the races in Warhammer 40K are stronger than each other. All the time.
I need
they're
to ask.
Never...
Yeah, it's just a constant miasma.
Is the reason that they're always stronger than the like they're always as strong as each other, so that the games are like level?
No, it's just because it's a tabletop game. So if they made one race significantly stronger, no one would play the other.
That's what I mean. So is that why they do it? And that obviously with the books and shit, you kind of have to lean into that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, that's fine. That makes sense. I thought they were just being...
It's basically giving every single race main character syndrome.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which if every race has main character syndrome, you beat that one other character.
That goes into like plot armor, so you'd have to discredit that for any like...
Which means then you have to remove One Punch Man's
fight.
Armor.
Yeah, but I don't think we were going to do One Punch Man versus Warhammer, but that's the thing.
It's same as like Superman. Superman's main power is he's as powerful as him to be.
For the story context, yeah.
All right.
So it's like... It's one of those of like.
This is going to be a whole different conversation, but I think we should come back to
this.
It
is a whole new. This is a whole second episode.
Basically, I need a Warhammer for Dummies, so we'll do this again. And also, my brain's going.
It's like 12:30 in the evening, in the afternoon. You're like, my brain's died.
Honestly, we've been gone for an hour and 20 minutes, so I think it's probably fair enough.
Fair.
All right.
Yeah, I think this has been a good one. We established that Lord of the Rings wins, Skyrim wins, and then Warhammer beats everything. And I want next month for that next time. So
you'll probably enjoy the orcs explanation quite a lot because the orcs are very interesting.
I love orcs. Orcs are the best, man.
So in terms of socials, you can find us on Peak Geek Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And I think I also created the Threads account for us, which is Peak Geek Podcast as well.
Oh, cool.
It prompted me when I logged in on the Instagram app, so why not?
We don't have a chatbot, CD. We don't have a chatbot.
We haven't set that up yet.
Yeah, Liam has.
No, sorry, don't stop saying we, Liam. Like, Liam, you didn't say you're going to do all this stuff and then just didn't do any of it.
Hey, Jez, you know I have no time. you can find us on all the socials that way. They are on the Twitch if you find us on our profile, and which is Peak Geek Pod, but I assume you know that because you're here. Although, actually, no, for the recordings later. Haha. Yeah. So, this goes out on Spotify, Google Podcast, basically any other podcast platform, probably some point next week. All right. Bye, guys.
Exactly.
Bye.
Peace out.